Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Now I want to tell you today that to be blessed, to be healed, for your life to change, to reach your fullest potential in life, you have got to agree to submit to God's plan. And there is a plan. In Jeremiah 29:11, listen to what the Lord says. I know the plans that I have for you. Hey, just because God knows doesn't mean you know. You've got to find out. The Lord says, they are plans for peace, not for disaster. That's your plan. It ends up sometimes in disaster. God says, my plans that I give you are to give you a future filled with hope. And then you can call upon me and you will come and pray and I will listen to you and you'll look to me and you'll find me when you search for me wholeheartedly. When we submit to God's plan, when we say, God, I want what you want for my life. I haven't really been that successful with the things that I've wanted in my life, and I'm coming to you right now. So how do you find God's plan? Well, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Many people have accepted him as Savior, but not as Lord. Lord is someone who will give you directions. Lord is someone you have to submit to. That means you have to get out of the driver's seat and give Jesus Christ the wheel of your life so that he can direct you down the path of God's plan for your life. And that begins by accepting him fully, not partially, not just intellectually, but with your heart, your whole heart, and submitting to him. And saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my disobedience. Forgive me of my stubbornness. Forgive me of thinking my way was better than your way. Lord, be the Lord. Guide me. Direct me. Show me the way. Because only then are you truly a child of God. Now, the Bible says in John 1:12, all who believe in Christ and accept him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. But the Bible goes on also to say, and those who are led by the Holy Spirit, those who follow the Holy Spirit's direction, are the true children of God. So it's important for you to understand there's more for us to do than just to say, I believe. We've got to take time in God's presence. We've got to read the Bible. We need to attend church. We need to believe that he is going to help us. We need to make him an integral part of our lives. And we must imagine God to be like the potter and we like the clay. We've got to be willing to allow him to shape our lives, not the way we necessarily desire, but the way he knows is going to be best for us. In Jeremiah 18:3, it says, I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at his wheel. And he was using his hand to make a pot from clay, but something went wrong with it. So he used that clay to make another pot the way he wanted it to be. Then the Lord said to me, can't I do the same thing with you? You are in my hands like the clay in the potter's hand. Every one of us came to God as a sinner. We all came with issues, and some of us still have issues today. Truth be told, a Christian can still fail God, can still fall into temptation, Why? Because none of us are perfect except for the Lord. Let the church say amen. Now listen, when you yield to your carnal desires and not to the Holy Spirit, that's the time you're going to wander far off the Christian reservation. And you're going to be doing things that you didn't even think you still remembered how to do. That's why the Bible warns us in Galatians 5 and 16, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. We live in a body that still is tempted to do what we used to do. How many know that's true? Yeah, see, you accept Jesus as personal Savior and Lord. Your spirit is born again. But your body, the Bible says, you have to put to death. Render the members of your body as though they were dead. That is, you got to put it down. You can't allow your sinful natural cravings to take over your body. No, you've got to submit them to God through the Holy Spirit and His help. For example, David was anointed. I've been teaching on the anointing. David was anointed. He became a giant killer. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, yet he committed adultery with another man's wife and then murdered him. What? Yeah. We don't talk about that a lot. Sometimes we talk about the adultery part, but we very rarely talk about the fact that he murdered the woman's husband. One day God sent a prophet to tell David it was time to repent, because since the time it happened, he had not yet repented. He hadn't said, God, I'm sorry. God, I need a change in my life. So God sent a prophet to him. He said, this is your day to start over again. And I'm saying the same thing to many of you today. This is your day to start over again. Listen, we all look good here, but we need to understand God really knows who we are. He knows the private hell that we are all going through. He's seen the tears on the pillow. He knows the profanity that we use when we get all upset. The frustration when we have to deal with people that have hurt us and wounded us and all of those things. God is talking to you today because God is aware of everything happening in your life. Nathan said to David, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you to be king, and I delivered you from the hand of King Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And then he says, you've killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you've taken his wife to be your wife. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me. Now imagine God saying to you, you have sinned because you have despised me. It's important for each of us to understand God takes sin personally. Your sin is not just against a person, it's against God. And then the Lord said, behold, I will raise up adversity against you in your own house, and what you did secretly, I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of everyone. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said to David, yes, and the Lord has also forgiven your sin, and you shall not die. However, because of this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme him, and the child also who is born to you shall surely die. See, this is how it all started. He thought it was a one-night stand. Bathsheba got pregnant, and now he tried to fix it. But now the Bible says one of the consequences for your sin is the baby is going to die. Now, I want you to listen to me, because God forgave David. but there were still consequences for his disobedience. And this is one of the things we must always remember, guys. Listen, yes, God will forgive us for our sins and disobedience, but there are always consequences. And many of those consequences go beyond us and touch our children and touch the lives of other people, like they did with David. God will forgive us when we ask. The consequences will often be the difficulty in healing relationships, the sorrow of regret, the winning trust again. However, when you ask forgiveness, God will forgive and start the restoration process if you're consistent with God, if you're consistent with others. Listen to the character of God in Jeremiah 31 and 34. It says, "For they shall all know me from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more." Imagine God forgets what you did. He chooses to forget what you did because he loves you. And Micah 7 and 19, it says, "You will have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." Now, the first key to restoration is repentance. You've got to tell God that you're sorry and mean it. And then you have to go and tell others that you're sorry that you hurt them or disappointed them or whatever you did as well. I want you to listen to David's prayer in Psalm 51. In verse 1, he was praying this prayer to God. He said, "Have mercy on me, O God. Because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion." Disobedience is rebellion against the will of God. He said, "It haunts me day and night. Against you and against you alone I have sinned. I have done this evil in your sight. So purify me for my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." We come to God and we ask him for his forgiveness because he's really the only one who can forgive us from sin. Even when you go to someone else and say, "Well, will you please forgive me for what I did to you?" They may say yes. But if you haven't asked God, you're still not ultimately forgiven if you sinned. So David went to the source. He said, "God, forgive me of my sins." And the other thing is you've got to understand, only God can give you power not to do it again.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
This is important, folks. Listen, 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 listen. When people betray you, when people hurt you, when people say, "Oh, forgive me, I'll never do it again," you need to make sure they believe in God and they know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Why? Because he's the only source that can stop them from doing it again. Wake up. Stop just taking people's words for things when they don't have the power to fulfill it. God gives people power to keep their word. It comes through their relationship with Him. Listen to his prayer. It continues on and on. He says, give me back my joy. Let me rejoice again. Please don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me. Do you hear him? He's saying, you create in me a clean heart, O God. You renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me away from your presence, and do not take the Holy Spirit from me. You restore me to the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need God's help to change. Come on, lift a hand and say, I will change, but it will only happen with God's help. Your joy will return and be sustained through your obedience to God's word. Now, after you've repented and you've turned away from sinful behavior, God has forgiven you, but now you have to forgive yourself. And I'm just going to talk about that for a few moments, because the same devil that tempted you to do wrong, once you do wrong, do you know what he says? You did wrong. Oh, you terrible, wicked person. Oh, let me show you and tell you all the things you did. Let me tell you each negative, ugly, betrayal thing you did. You know why he can tell you so well? Because he's the one who led you to do it. And so he's so good at reminding you of your faults. You've got to forgive yourself. There were some religious men that brought to Jesus a woman who had committed adultery. They caught her in the very act. Figure that out. It was just the woman. How do you have adultery just by yourself? That's a Selah. Pause and think about it. They brought the woman. There was no man. And they said she was caught in the very act of adultery. The Bible says, the law says, we are to stone her. But what do you say, Jesus? They were trying to trap him. The Bible says, this is found in John 8 and 7, a very fascinating story in the Word. Jesus raised himself up and said to them, okay, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. And then he stooped back down and started writing some more. Some people believe he was writing their sins in the sand so they could see. Liar, extortioner, adulterer. I mean, so that's what some people believe. We know that he did it. The Bible says, and then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, one by one began with the oldest to the last. They began to leave until they were all gone, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing there with him. And when Jesus got up, he saw there was nobody else but him and the woman. So he said, woman, where are your accusers? Isn't there anyone here to condemn you? And she said, no, Lord, no one. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Folks, listen. The only thing God says for your sins after you ask for forgiveness and you really mean it is, don't do it anymore. He doesn't continue to whip you. He doesn't continue to condemn you. That's the devil. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who are not following their carnal desires anymore, but they're following. They want to live for God. They are going to live for Him. The Bible says in Psalm 103 and 10, He has not treated us as we deserved for our sins or paid us back for our wrongs. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, that is how vast His mercy is toward those that fear Him. But I want to end with this. He still demands that we do the same for other people. We have to let people go who hurt us. We've got to let them go. Come on, repeat after me. God expects me, and God demands that I forgive every person who hurt me, betrayed me, or damaged me. That's what the Bible says. And I'm going to show you where it says it in Mark chapter 11, 25. Write it down, even if you don't want to. Because whether we ignore it or not, we're still held accountable to God. It says, whenever you pray, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your sins. Do you know what that means? You're going to hell. Because the only way you get to heaven is to have your sins forgiven. Well, you say, well, I'm a basically good person. I didn't do anything like that person did to me. They abused me. They this. They did that. They did this. Yeah, see, but you were born in sin, and God had to forgive you of your sins. God forgives everyone. So anyone who stands in front of God's forgiveness that is displayed on the cross where Jesus died for everyone, God says, I won't forgive your sins. You're not going to make it to heaven. How in the world do you stand in front of the cross of Jesus and say, God may forgive you, but I never will? Well, step to hell, because that's your judgment. Jesus died for the sins of the world. You've got to let people go. You have to let people go. You have to forgive people to be healed yourself. Unforgiveness will kill you and put you in hell, make you sick. The Bible says anyone who comes to Christ is a new creation. The old things pass away. Everything is brand new. Will you let people go? People who have accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, especially, they want a new life. You don't judge them. The Bible says God is the judge. Don't hold things against people because of their past. If they have repented, if they said, I'm truly sorry to God, I'm truly sorry to you, you must forgive them. Now, whether you choose to continue a relationship with them or not, that's up to you. But the Bible says if you're a Christian, you'll still be in fellowship with them at some level. You won't say, I never want to see you again. You won't continue to hold hard feelings against them. No. Forgiveness means to forgive and to forget. The Bible says, if therefore the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. God wants to set you free today. God wants to set you free from the things that are holding you back from fulfilling your destiny in life. Some of you are carrying that dead body on your back. It's rotting, and eventually it's going to take you down. And the Lord is telling me today that you need to let it go. Let it go and allow Him to heal your heart and allow Him to fulfill His perfect plan for your life.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the ministry of the Holy Spirit today, please consider going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and leave a donation of any size. It will be much appreciated and used to expand our radio ministry. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. This is part two of Starting Over Again. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
I want to pray this prayer with you today because some of us are still being affected by emotional pain, by traumatic experiences of our past, by some of the tragedies that perhaps no one else knows about. I want to let you know that you can be free in the name of Jesus because God loves you so much. And I'm asking you to repeat this prayer after me in the name of Jesus Christ. By the authority given to me to bind and to loose, I loose my emotions from every evil deed that has come as a result of experiences of the past. I loose myself from all hurt, pain, sadness, anger, bitterness, and fear. And I command these spirits to come out and leave me now. I declare freedom to my emotions by the power and the authority in the name of Jesus. I want you to believe that prayer and know that God has heard you.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.